This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hi, I'm Danny.
And I'm Gabby.
And this is Clashes, a podcast exploring culture shock in all its chaotic forms.
We know a good shock can shake things up.
So we blew up our lives and crash-landed in Paris.
With a delusional sense of hope.
And a dangerous red habit.
I feel attacked. But culture shock isn't just about changing countries.
Oh, it's about embracing the unknown.
From navigating friendships in your 30s.
Awkward. To processing pop culture's oddest obsessions.
So buckle up and embrace the chaos.
One clash at a time.
Hello. Welcome Hello, back. It's us.
We're back.
We need to practice these because they're extremely awkward. How are you, Danny? What's up?
I'm okay. How are you?
Honestly, like, just feels bad everywhere.
I'm definitely surviving, not thriving.
Yeah. It's hard because my day job is in PR. Well, actually night job because I work US hours. And so I have to pay attention to things and it's really starting to exhaust me.
Yeah, my job is in social media. So I'm like chronically online and I don't want to do it anymore.
It's so hard. Everyone's like, well, just delete TikTok, delete Instagram. I literally can't because of, and you can't either.
Yeah, it's not good. It's it's a shit show and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. So that's the scary part for sure. But I guess...
bright side, we're talking about friends today.
Yeah, and we don't live in the bad place.
Yeah.
But everybody would love us, so I guess it's still bad.
United States right now.
Yeah, today I guess we're gonna talk about something nice that makes us happy. So forget about the world for a couple of minutes. So Gabby, you want to talk about making friends in your 30s or when you're an adult in general?
This is my obsession and I'm excited that we're doing a podcast about it because I think it's just one of those things that doesn't come as naturally as it did when we were in high school and when we were in middle school. I think like, also you're just around people more. I always think of high school as you're in a class every day. It's just
you're seeing the same people over and over again.
Yeah, you're going to be friends with whoever you have your desk next to.
Yeah.
That are going to be like the biggest crush of your life and like ruin your self-confidence forever. But I was talking to a friend the other day and we were talking about how the most defeating aspect at this age can just be thinking that it's supposed to be easy and how if it's not easy, then you shouldn't be friends. And I think the one thing I come back to a lot is, no, it's kind of a pain to plan. Like, it's a pain to plan. You're going to have to schedule things in. Some people are married or have kids. So it means that there's a lot of labor that goes into the actual upkeep of the friendship. It doesn't mean when you're together, it's not easy. When you're together, it should be easy. But I think the notion of actually getting there, getting that together time, I mean...
There's a lot of upkeep that people... Maybe not everybody thinks about, but for sure, it takes a lot to build a relationship, especially a new one.
Yeah, it does take a lot of energy. Yeah. There's some, I don't know what it is, but there's some study where it's like, it takes like, actually, I love Amanda Montal has this podcast called Magical Overthinking, and she has one on friendship, and she talks about how many hours, I think it's like 500 hours to make a new friend.
How many?
It's like 500. It's like something insane.
To make a new friend?
Yes. Well, they're like, to be like a real friend. Maybe I'm getting it wrong.
Hours.
I'll actually look up the stat and we'll put it in the episode. But I've always wanted to say
how
that.
Many
we'll
days in the is episode that? I want to Google it.
Anyway, so it's not going to be something that's easy. I don't know if anyone else saw, but I was obsessed with, Danny, I probably told you about it before, but the Subway, have you heard of this like Subway study?
No.
They did this research study. They basically had them say before they went on the Subway, will you be happier or less happy if you have a conversation with someone during the Subway ride?
Okay.
A stranger. And almost 100% of the people said, I'll be less happy
If someone talks to me.
Yes.
Okay.
If someone talks to you. But that makes sense. Like, you're about to get ready to the subway.
You don't talk to people.
Or whatever, and you're like, yeah, I'd rather die than like a stranger turn to me and be like, how are you doing? One time I had a stranger turn to me and she goes, you must be a Taurus, like on the subway.
What?
And I was like, what? I'm a Leo. And she goes, you don't give Leo energy. I'll like never forget this moment.
Oh, and is that like a compliment or an insult?
One thing you should know about a Leo is like, they don't want to be told they don't give Leo energy.
But was this person being nice? I don't. Okay.
No, she was super weird, and she was like nagging me.
Oh no,
it was very odd. But anyway, I think I probably didn't leave that subway right happier. I'll say. But anyway,
right.
So the study is, everyone thinks they're not going to be happier when they talk to someone, and in the end, they had two samples, super sample groups, and the people who they made talk to a stranger, almost 100% of them were happier than the people who stayed alone.
Interesting. I mean. Yeah, I see that.
Because I think like
they have a connection with someone.
Yeah, it's just like it adds this point of brightness, but nobody thinks they're going to like it.
Right.
And so it's called mistakenly seeking solitude. And they literally called it miscalibrated social cognition, which basically means like people do not know how happy social connections will make them. And they misassume, that's not a word, but like that being alone will be better.
I think that's very interesting because I agree. I think a lot of people think they would be happier alone, but then when they hang out with their friends, you're like, that was nice.
I know.
I'm happy I went there.
And everyone has, there's all these memes about like being so happy that your friend canceled.
Yeah.
But it's like you are in the moment, but I think if you actually went, you would be happier.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so many times that I'm like, I don't want to go to this. And then I go and I'm like, that was nice.
That was worth it. Yeah. You know, every time someone tells me that story and they're like, and I wasn't going to go. And then I met my husband.
I'm dead.
That unfortunately has never happened to me, but we'll see. But anyway, so then it like, I think that just leads to us being obsessed with our alone time.
Right.
And I don't know, I'm like going to sound like a encyclopedia on this podcast, but it's just because I'm obsessed with this subject.
You really researched this topic.
You know what's so funny though? It's like when we were planning this, I had read all this already because I think this
you're fascinated with friendships
and
just human connection.
Yeah. And just the role it plays in our life.
Right.
There's also just like a phenomenon, I think, with specifically millennials, which is us, that we think that alone time is equated to wellness.
Right. Like, it makes you feel better, be in a better mental state.
Like, I need to like rejuvenate or I need to like refresh, and it has to do that alone.
Yeah.
And this guy, I think his name was like Laura something, in The Atlantic, had this article a couple weeks ago on solitude. It was called How Solitude is Rewiring American Identity. And he had this quote, and I can't stop thinking about it. And he said, quote, "We haven't just privatized leisure, we've privatized ritual. Modern rituals are more likely to bind us to ourselves than to other people. Meditate at this time alone. Remember to work out alone. Or if you're around other people, use noise-canceling headphones." And he keeps going and talking about how, like, our idea of how we're supposed to refresh everything about wellness is just, like, you gotta be
individualistic.
By yourself. Yeah, totally individualistic. That's exactly it. And what's crazy is that relationships are one of the number one determinants of a healthy, long life.
And there's, like, research behind this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you had heard this before, but like that Harvard study, it's about like how truly it's like, I think it's like nutrition, genetics, or like genetics, nutrition, relationships.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's what makes you be healthy.
Yes. Literally, they say.
Like overall health and happiness.
Overall health and happiness. Literally, people who are socially connected tend to experience fewer chronic illnesses, better mental health, slower cognitive decline. Anyways, okay, so I need to ask you about your process in Paris because I don't know, I'm curious if we like had similar routes. We haven't talked about this that much, but how did you know anyone here when you moved?
Not really. I mean, I knew like a handful of people that were like friends of friends. Wait, did you have any friends in Paris?
I knew one person, yeah. Do you have traits, values that you've come away with? Like, are you friends with French people? If so, what about them?
That's a whole three hours that I can talk about it. Yeah. So values, I guess someone that has similar values to me, like you can't be a bad person overall. It has to be a person that is good, like inherently good. Maybe like you make mistakes. No one's perfect, of course, but
like well-intentioned.
Well-intentioned and that isn't malicious, isn't jealous, isn't like any of the negative traits that I think.
The jealousy thing is crazy. You know, like having friends who like when you get into a relationship, hate you.
That is weird. I'm sorry.
It's so crazy.
Like,
you can tell they're like so annoyed that you're dating someone.
That's weird. I'm sorry.
It feels like you have to hide your happiness from them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like someone who you can truly be yourself with, someone who when you are winning, they're happy for you. When you're losing, they're going to comfort you and tell you everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, and not like have a secret little like smirk in the back.
And not, yeah, be like.
I've had amazing relationships throughout the course of my life. Yeah.
No, for me, it's like just a good person overall. I don't know. How about you?
That's huge. Oh, no, yeah. Pretty similar. I mean, I think about the values concept a lot, which I know is such a vague word, but I think at this age, this has been happening since I was like 26, 27, but like you get friends who get into long-term relationships, like you'll have a couple of friends who get pregnant, you'll have friends who move countries, you'll have friends who get jobs, lose jobs. Like, I think you can be in such different like practical life stages from someone, and the through line in a lot of friendships, I think, has to be the shared value. So for me, like reflection and personal growth is a huge one. And I also think independence, like they're really big.
Yeah, I agree.
Like having your own life, and also I don't believe any of us are actually fully self-aware, but like having, like attempting self-awareness, like to attempt to be aware of how your actions impact and affect others. That's huge for me. I'm not saying we're all going to do it in the moment. Someone can lose their temper. Someone can like be going through a breakup and like have a mental breakdown and like short circuit. But then I need someone who's like 2 weeks later, like, hey, sorry guys, I had a full mental breakdown. I'm working on it. Like that's a trait I need.
Yeah.
Not someone who like can never see outside themselves. And so, yeah, that's been a big one for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And then I think we've both done a great job at making friends here. The one thing they all have in common is that they're not French.
Yeah.
So a thing about moving to a different country, and I don't know because I haven't, I'm in France. So I don't know how it is everywhere, but the expat community is quite inviting. And so it's actually really easy to make friends because you're all kind of having a shared experience. Yes. So you have something in common. And you're all a little crazy because you left your lives and moved to a new country. So you have like that in common. You're all adventurous, open-minded. So I think making expat friends or other friends that aren't French is quite easy. The hard part is making French friends. So my question to you, Gabby, is do you have any French friends?
No, not one. I have two friends who are half French.
Okay.
I don't really feel like that counts.
So two half French friends counts for one.
Sure. French friend. But I... No.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's so sad, and I felt really guilty about it for a long time. And then I hung out with these two women who had both married a Frenchman, had multiple kids. They'd been here for over 10 years, and I expressed it. This was about 2 years ago. I said, I'm feeling very embarrassed that I've been here 3 years and I don't have one single French friend. And they said, "Oh, we both of us between us have two." It's harder than it looks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that many French friends, to be honest. I have like a handful, and they're all either people that I met in New York that are French and then moved back to France, and so we reconnected, or people I met through work. Not that many, though. And then, my husband's friends that I basically, I made friends with him because I'm married to him. But... I think thing that they all have in common and the reason they're open to friendship with me is because they've all lived abroad.
Oh, it's huge.
They're more close-minded or less likely to make friends with someone who isn't from their friend group, from high school, from college, or whatever.
I always chalk it up to curiosity.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you have a certain type of curiosity, you want to learn about someone else's life and another culture. But if you don't have that, why would you want to be friends with someone from another country who doesn't speak your language perfectly?
I think it's also, well. I think the way they see it, it's like, I already have friends.
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's not really about you. It's like, I already have my group of friends. I've known them since I was a kid. I love them. And I don't really need another friend, which is not, that's not the most open-minded thing to think. But I think they just see it as like, I don't need more friends, I'm good. Whereas I think we, and talking about like you and I, but I think Americans are like, let's be friends with everyone.
I always have room for another good, rewarding friendship.
Yeah.
That's what I find different. Like I'll meet someone and be like, I love them, always her, because I have not one single straight guy friend, which is a conversation for another podcast. But I'm always open to like a new investment. But you know, it's funny because I was thinking before we recorded this, like what are the biggest tactical differences between French and Americans in terms of like a friendship relationship? This is both. This could be dating. This could also be friendship. But I feel like there are a couple things socially that have really stood out to me that I can tell are
like off-putting. What?
Asking questions. It's a huge one. I got called out. I got called out in a dating context, but I know this applies to friendships as well. I don't know if you ever read like Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
No. I haven't done that much research on friendship.
I literally sound so annoying in this book, but clearly I was a really cool like early 20 person that I was reading a book called How to Win Friends. But the book talks about basically the number one premise is asking people questions will always make you a friend. People love to talk about themselves.
Yeah, because people are like narcissistic and they want to talk about themselves.
What insane people as we sit here in front of two microphones, literally.
I mean, I love when people ask me questions.
Yeah, I know. We all love it. We're human. Every single one. It works. And he gives this example in the book that I think about, not even kidding, probably four times a week. He says he went to this party. He was talking to this woman and he said nothing about himself. He just asked the woman questions. She talked about herself for like an hour and a half. He leaves the next day. He hears through like the grapevine, like say her name was Linda or whatever. It was like, Linda loved you. She said you were so nice and funny. And he was like, I said nothing.
That's happened to me a lot of times when I feel like I'm interviewing someone. Like yes. I meet a new friend and I'm asking a million questions because I want to fill like the empty silences or like the awkward silences. And then I'm like, okay, well, this person didn't ask me a single thing about myself. And then they text me on Instagram later being like, that was so much fun. We should do it again.
Yep.
And I'm like, what?
Do what again?
You don't even know anything about me.
Like my 60 Minutes interview.
Yeah,
with you.
It's so weird.
But French people are different. I've been called out. They're like, you're interviewing me. Like you're asking.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. It's not my experience. Weird. Again, my French friends are, I think, very different because they've all lived abroad. So I think they're more
used open. To other social dynamics.
They're used to it, and if I ask them 3 million questions, they don't care. Also, a lot of them I met through work, so we had that thing in common. Like, we had something else in common.
Yeah, also, they were working at, like, an international company.
Yeah. Exactly. But they all lived abroad, so I think that's what brought us together, ultimately. Yeah. But also, I do think we're very different, because even some of the people that I worked with, I'm like, I feel like you hate me because I'm so eager, and I'm so, like, yeah. Oh, like
we're so eager.
Yeah.
That is something about being American.
Why are you so happy all the time?
Oh my God, I know. We're literally like, I picture ourselves like, we're like little puppies. Like
I feel like a golden retriever. And truly. They're just like, why are you so?
Yeah, I feel like in summary, I think it's going to take work and it takes effort. But I the biggest thing I've learned over the course, specifically the last 5 years, like the beginning of my 30s, has been it is worth it. Like, it is worth it to put the energy in.
Yeah.
And what I've learned from all my research in all these articles is that it is worth it, but it's not going to be your instinct all the time. And I find that to be, like, one of the greatest, like, I don't know. It's such a tragedy of humanity that we don't want to do these things, that we don't feel the urge to do them, and that if we did them, they'd make us happier, you know?
I think COVID kind of fucked us up.
I mean, that is the way that impacted my social anxiety. Yeah. I never thought of myself as socially anxious. After COVID, I will never forget this. This friend of a friend said to me, he like looked me in the eyes across from the table and he goes, you're really socially anxious, aren't you?
Interesting.
I am not someone, I don't think most people would look at me and say,
I'm
socially anxious, but it had gotten so bad over COVID.
I think it's because, I mean, for me, the way it's impacted me is like, I think twice, like making plans to leave my house. I love being home. And like you said, a lot of times I'm like, I don't want to go, but then I end up going. I'm like, that was so fun.
Yep.
So I guess that's the way, like I have to push myself to do these social interactions. And every time I do it, I love it. And I never regret it. But just getting to the social thing is what I have to put a lot of effort in sometimes.
So take away, everyone, get your ass off the couch.
And just go make that friend.
From two
send
idiots
that
here.
DM. Be like, do you want to be friends?
Yeah, send that DM. Yeah. That's such a good one. Send that DM. Say, do you want to be my friend?
Yeah. The worst thing that could happen is they don't answer.
The worst thing that happen is actually that they like it and they don't say anything.
That's happened to me.
It's insane. It's that happened. To me is, by the way, insane behavior. Oh
but gosh. Honestly, put yourself out there. It's worth it at the end. You might be or feel rejected by some people, but it's not about you. It's about them. So just do it anyway. That's my
advice. I also
think
that sometimes it is about you, but that's okay. Like lately I've been like, okay, so if someone might not like me, I'm like, well, that technically that's about me, but also I'm not going to change because like some rando doesn't like me.
Yeah.
So lately I've been trying to embrace the phrase like, it might not be about me, but if it is about me, I'm not going to change anyway. Like I'm not going to change my personality for one person.
I don't care.
Yeah. Certainly not someone I'm not having sex with.
Yeah, I mean, who cares? I only want people that bring good energy into my life. And I think that's easy to tell when you meet someone, if they're going to be good vibes, bad vibes. For me. Huh?
I said for you. I mean, my lack of character judgment has led me astray.
I can sort of tell when someone's like, I can pick up energies, or I feel like I'm very sensitive to people's energy. So I can tell what they're bringing to the friendship quite easily.
Okay. So if you guys need help, DM Dani.
Yeah.
And I say, what do you think of this person's energy? And she'll help you up.
No, it's more like personally. I'm teasing. Don't text me.
That's our call. We're told we're supposed to have a CTA. It's a call to action. So that's our call to action. It's my new side gig. DM Dani. All right. Well, make friends, everyone.
Yeah. Welcome back to our segment, How Do You Not Know This?
Okay, what do you got for me today, Dani?
Okay, so this is where we talk about something we're obsessed with in culture, and we maybe shame or educate the other person. So today I'm going to talk about Bad Bunny's new album. We've sort of talked about it, but you haven't really listened to it, or you've heard some songs.
I will say, I listened to it on the car ride home.
Oh, nice. And?
By it, I mean four or five songs.
Oh, nice.
I like the melodies.
Yeah, they're good.
Yes. I don't know, I don't speak Spanish. Of course. Yeah. So I struggle a bit.
So his new album, he released it in January 5th. It's called Debí Tirar Más Fotos, which means I should have taken more pictures. So it's about like...
That's why I have that TikTok trend. I should have taken more.
Yeah, it's so cute. So it's a great album because it's basically a love letter to Puerto Rico and Puerto Rican culture. But on top of the meaningful side of it, it's like just good music. And he's mixing a lot of like nostalgic sounds with contemporary sounds. So he's kind of like playing across a bunch of genres. And the good thing about it is like he's kind of making... types of specific genres of music, Latin music, that are maybe not considered trendy anymore, that were maybe like my parents' generation, like salsa. What kind?
Salsa. Okay.
So now that salsa is out of fashion, but it's not really what people are listening to now. Like Latin people listen to like reggaeton and that kind of stuff. And so he is kind of bringing that to the forefront along with a lot of like Puerto Rican music. So he really is like blending all this like old and new and just making a whole new product for a new generation. So... it's incredible. The music is good. It goes from like, you know, a reggaeton song that makes you want to like just like shake your ass at the club.
How do you do that with your R's? reggaeton.
So
it's like so natural for you.
I mean, it's my first language, so I would hope so. But it's an interesting album because it goes from like, I just want to shake my ass at the club to this like reggaeton song to like a super deep track about... Puerto Rico's cultural like identity and how they don't want the U.S. to erase that like they did with Hawaii. So it's like,
wow,
it goes from like shake your ass at the club to like, you know, we gotta fight so they don't take away our identity because look at what happened to Hawaii. Though. So it's like,
it's kind of giving Beyonce vibes.
Yeah, honestly, yes.
Like Lemonade was very actually, like, to be honest, a new album was like that too.
Yeah, there's like a clear theme that kind of you see throughout the album. At the core of it is good music, so it's just a good album. But then when you listen to the lyrics, it's like it brings you to another level. And if you're Puerto Rican, I'm sure it brings you to like a never like deeper level because it's like your home and it's your culture and you're like seeing yourself identified in this thing. And it's like kind of made it to the mainstream. So people are talking about this. It sparked like all these like cultural conversation, political conversation. So it's not just like a trendy song. It's like a movement, really. So anyway, I love it. Obsessed with him. I think it's his best work because it's like his most authentic work. He's like so proud to be Puerto Rican. So this is like a clear testament.
What was his? I don't know. I obviously know who Bad Bunny is, but more in like, I know he dated Kendall Jenner because I'm like a stupid white American.
Yeah.
So like, what were his other albums? Like, what was the vibe? Were they more party vibe or were they less?
No, I think he's always been a bit political. Like, he's always put a little bit of like, he's always, I don't know, like, there's always been a clear stance on how he feels about certain things. So it's not like, super new, but I think this entire album is just so different that I think that's why people are so captivated by it. On top of like the whole like Puerto Rican culture layer, so a lot of the Puerto Ricans are like, this is not, and a lot of Latin people in general are like, wow, this is amazing.
Oh, so cool.
I want to go to Puerto Rico now. And he's doing this whole,
to Puerto Rico now.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've been once and I loved it. I love Puerto Rican people. They're just like nicest, happiest people. One time I asked my Puerto Rican friend, like, why are you all so nice? And she's like, we live in an island. Why wouldn't we be nice? Oh. And it's like, I mean, fair point. But anyway, it's a great
like,
album.
I live under a pile of garbage. So.
What?
I'm always like, after living in New York, I'm like, I live under a pile of garbage. So yeah. It makes sense why I am the way I am.
Yeah. No, but it's a great album.
Okay, I'll listen. 100%.
Even if you don't understand Spanish, yes, obviously, yeah. It's really fun. And you can kind of, you'll be able to tell the difference in like the different
styles. And Bad Bunny for sure needs more fans. And
I know. Poor guy. He's just an indie artist trying to make it. How about you? So what are you going to teach me about today?
Okay. Right now, my obsession is, once again, breakup oriented because I'm an idiot. I love Wishbone Kitchen. Okay. I'm not a very Martha Stewart vibes girl. And okay. I also haven't cooked.
What do you have against Martha?
Nothing in the sense that like, I've watched a documentary. Okay, that's a layered comment. I also think she has like a personality disorder, but I just mean that like I'm not sitting there prepping dishes.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like to cook when I have a kitchen. I barely have a kitchen. I don't have an oven these days. I haven't cooked in like 6 months. I basically heat up stuff on a stovetop at best. Usually I'm assembling. Like I'm doing like a dense bean salad, but mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm not loving Wishbone Kitchen for the fact that I love that she's messy. I love that every video she makes, she spills something, she's dropping something. It's just so relatable. Obviously, it's this perfect mix of aspirational and chaos.
Yeah.
But what I really love is recently she has a side account. It's like a little photo of like Lisa Simpson or something. And it's okay. Just called Meredith. And of course, it's like a side account. It has like still has like 45,000 people. Okay. But like she has like millions of followers. And she finally came clean about her breakup. And as someone going through a breakup.
Like, when internet people break up with people, it's like, what happened?
It's exactly. It's so good. She kind of hid it from everyone, so no one knew what was happening.
But she was like, okay, so she's. I'm sorry, I don't know who this person is.
Yeah, okay.
She's like a food.
She's like a food. Yeah, good question. She's kind of like a modern Ina Martha vibe.
And she was in a relationship.
Yeah, so she had this whole series where she was making a roast chicken for her boyfriend. And she would call him like Roast Chicken Man.
Okay.
Because he basically became her boyfriend after she made him dinner.
Oh, okay.
So she had this whole
marry
series.
Marry me chicken or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever the hell that is. Clearly, I'm not familiar. Mine's like marry me, like yuca fries I picked up at the corner shop. So she like stopped talking about him. And then she bought a house in the Hamptons, Ooh. Which is insane. And then she moved apartments in New York.
Okay.
So the other day, TikTok was about to quote unquote like shut down. Who knows what's happening? And so she's like, I'm just gonna lay it all bare. And she said that he just dumped her out of nowhere.
Okay.
And this is my favorite. Okay, when I say favorite, I have a lot of empathy for her because I imagine this was pure hell.
Of course.
But obviously, as someone going through a breakup, I like misery loves company.
Yep.
And I am misery and I love the company. And he dumped her and they had signed a contract to do a Walmart promo video.
He's gonna be the chicken man.
With the chicken man.
Okay.
And the video was like them making this chicken together and then it was like Walmart or something. I don't know. And
I love your Walmart.
And then he dumped her.
Okay.
But he signed the contract and she didn't want to like pull out of this because one, I'm sure it paid really well. And two, she's like, I just don't want to like, she's like, so many people get involved in this stuff. And I work in PR. I know
it's
that.
It's very like, difficult to kill a deal like that.
Yes. Yeah. So 2 months after he dumps her,
they have to shoot the chicken commercial
together.
No.
Yeah. And I hadn't actually seen the original and I went back and watched the original and they like literally have to like hold hands in it. As someone who has blocked my ex, oh my God, it actually doesn't look weird, which is just a testament to
how true professional.
Oh my God, though. So then she goes, I tried to talk to him. I tried to say to him at the end of the segment, do you want to talk? Because she said he dumped her and then never spoke to her.
Okay.
And he said, no.
Did this man get paid for the chicken commercial?
So I don't know. But he signed a contract, so I imagine he probably got it a little cut. Well, she shouldn't have gotten. And he dumped her a week before they were supposed to move in together, which is like why she moved into this small apartment by herself. So anyway, I'm loving it because one, I love feeling like I'm not alone. I love that she's like beautiful and smart and funny and so successful and
can cook.
Still got dumped. Yeah, and can cook. Yeah. And I think it's just like anytime you see a woman who gets dumped, I'm always like, okay, well, maybe I'm beautiful and smart and funny. Like, and for me, it just like helps with the catharsis. So that's my obsession. Everyone should go watch it. I hope she didn't take the videos down.
Everybody go stalk her.
Yeah, I'm literally, go stalk her.
Wait, I actually want to follow her. I love food accounts.
What I hope is that like she, her, and I will say her food content is.
It's good.
Yeah, and she's just about to drop a cookbook. And I also do her PR, just kidding. But she is about to drop a cookbook.
Love.
So, yeah. So, okay, everyone I'll look check at it out. Her I side account. I think it's called, like, Meredith something, creators. But I'm sure you can find it.
Damn. I hope she got paid really well for the commercial.
Yeah.
Because
I'll do some digging.
Yeah.
I'm guessing 20 came in.
Maybe how many more. Followers does she have?
Millions.
Oh, more than that. More than I'm that. Sure. I paid 20K for people with less. I used to work in this. I used to be on the brand side, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, she probably made a shit ton of money. He probably made a shit ton of money, too.
So the pain was worth it. He showed it. He was in it for like 1 millisecond.
I know, but it's his likeness that you're paying for on Forge.
Imagine also, the first time people see your, first time people see your boyfriend is 2 months after you broke up in a paid video.
And you have to like work together on camera. That would not end well.
Okay, that's mine. Time for our next segment. Snack and spiral, spiral and snack.
All right, so I guess I'll start with my snack. My snack currently is not really a snack. It's more like a place to get snacks, if you will. It's a restaurant. It's my favorite restaurant, my favorite Venezuelan restaurant in Paris. It's called Ají Dulce. It's in the 9th. I think it's the best one. There's a bunch, but this is my favorite one. I didn't know
there were a bunch of Venezuelans.
Well, there's like at least 5 or 6 for sure. Yeah. But this is my favorite one, not only because it's like close to my house.
Yeah, why is it your favorite?
It's just to me consistently good. And it's just, I don't
what
know.
What do you get? What's really your order?
I usually get an arepa. I think it's the catira that I always get. But my favorite thing, which you also love, we get those
not
a
me
lot.
Pretending not to know.
We always get, as a snack, the yuca fries.
Oh my God, the garlic dip.
I know, and they have the best little sauces. They have like a garlic sauce. They have wasacaca, which is a Venezuelan sauce that's like an avocado sauce.
The green one?
The green one. And then they have like a hot sauce, but it's not super hot. It's like the perfect amount and it's delicious. So I love snacking on the yuca fries with all the different sauces. What's the other thing they have there? The tequeños. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like this like dough filled with like cheese. It's so good. And so I love Ají Dulce. They're consistently good. Once a month they have empanadas, like what you were talking about. Like sometimes if you go there on a Sunday, it's like a crazy line out. It's probably
I walked by like yeah. hours ago and there was a line down the street.
Yeah, that happened insane. To me once yeah. too. I went to the gym and I'm like, I'm gonna stop and get my snack.
No, I'm not gonna lie, I was about to get some yucas
yeah
on the way here.
And then I walk in, I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, it's empanada day. And I was like, oh shit. So yeah, I love that place.
They're very nice too.
They're very nice. Yeah. It's, I don't know, I just love it. And they'll text me sometimes because I go so often. They're like, hey girl, we're about to close for the holidays.
Like, do you think they have like a promo list? Or it's like just like everyone's like, we got to text no, Danny.
I think I literally go once a week and I tag them every time I post something. So they're like,
this is a loyal customer. They got to start comp on your yukes.
I would hope. And like, honestly, this week I've met like random people that have asked me when I say I'm from Venezuela. They're like, where can I get Venezuelan food? And I'm like, Ají Dulce is the place. So anyway, that's my quote unquote snack. And then in my spiral, kind of goes with the friendship theme. And we kind of touched on this a little bit, but I hate people that go on social media and they're like, I don't have any friends. And then you're like,
oh no, I think I know. I think we know some people in common.
They're like, I'm so lonely, I don't have any friends. And then you're like, text or they reach out to you like, let's meet. And you're like, let's meet. And then they just never answer you again.
Yeah.
So again, I know making friends is like...
It's like your own worst enemy.
Well, I know that making friends is difficult and it takes a lot of guts to reach out to someone. But if someone like plays ball with you and says, sure, let's get coffee tomorrow. And then you like leave them on a red.
What do you think psychologically is happening
here? I think maybe people like...
crave it, but don't... It's kind of what we talked about. Like maybe they crave it, but it's just like so scary or so overwhelming.
Yeah, I think they're like, okay... I put myself out there. I send the first message. Oh my God, they answered. I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. Or simply like, I'm not interested anymore. I don't know. I don't know what it could be. No, and I know, it's intimidating. I get that. But then don't go on social media and then complain that you don't have friends.
Yeah, like have a
potential friend is trying to meet up with you and you're ignoring them.
There was this one time I like invited... Maybe I shouldn't say this. Invited. This actually happened a few times, not just one time, but I like invited people to parties. And then they'd be like, why did nobody invite me to a party? And I'm like, I literally invited you to this. So I don't know what you're posting about. To me, it's like, there's this weird social disconnect you must have. Like you want validation and attention. I'm being really mean right now, but I also just,
no,
like,
I also think social media has warped their brains and like how to connect with people. And we think that just like sending a heart in someone's story means like, we're connected, we're friends. And I'm like, no girl, like we need to meet in real life. We need to get a coffee. It's not that simple. So I think that's my biggest like kind of pet peeve, especially within like the Paris community.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you're gonna message me to be like, let's get a drink, then let's get a drink. Not, you know.
And then don't go post, why will nobody get drinks with me?
Yeah. And then you're like, I have no friends. And I'm like, I literally said, hello, let's meet tomorrow. Let's go get a drink. And you double tapped it and then never answered me again. That's happened to me like 3 or 4 times.
The
and
double,
I'm like,
the double tap?
It's lethal.
It's lethal. I cannot understand what is going through someone's head who, speak about like a CTA, a call to action. Like, you initiate a call to action. You're like, here's this. Yeah. And then they just like it. Like, you realize that's sociopathic behavior.
I think it's maybe some people just like,
don't be gentle. Don't go gentle. No, don't be empathetic.
The only other thing, because I am not great at DM, so I will say that sometimes I'll open
someone's message.
Not
for sure.
Sometimes I'll open it, like when I wake up.
And you'll like it, and then you'll never respond? Are you the problem?
No. I would never do that to someone who's like, let's get coffee. I would answer.
Yeah.
But sometimes when people ask me certain things, like, how can I get a job in Paris? I'm like, oh my God, this is going to take, like, I need to have coffee before I answer this. I forget.
Do you know what I do? Open my computer. I read my DMs on my computer because in your computer, you can see a longer preview.
Ooh.
So I gauge what I'm going to respond to.
What are you going to open?
Yeah, because sometimes I'm just like, if someone's just like, hey, can you give me a visa advice for moving to Paris? I'm like, no. So that one's not getting to read. We're not getting to read until I'm like drunk in an Uber home and I like want something to do. Or like,
yeah. You know. So I'm not great at DMs. So I get that maybe people forget, but again, if you're reaching out to me to be like, let's get coffee or let's be friends or let's have a drink, and I answer, great, let's meet on Friday, and then you never answer me, that's fine. But then don't be like, I have no friends.
So that's my spiral.
How about you? What's your snack and what's your spiral?
Did you do snack first?
I did snack first. Yeah.
Okay, yours are like elevated cultural, mine are like pure absolute garbage trash.
That's why it works.
Yin yang, yin trash. And mine is, I love onion dip. I just love onion dip. I could eat it by the full.
Where do you get onion dip?
So you don't get it. So this is like what I do. So you can get onion soup mix. Okay. And this is where things.
I don't even know. Where do you get that?
The grocery store, like Carrefour.
Okay.
It's like powdered soup, like those little like packets of soup.
I've never seen.
Be a little aware. You're probably going to get a stomach ache after you do this. So I just like hope everyone understands.
Shit your
pants. For me, it's worth it because I'm a chronic masochist. But so you get the onion soup mix. And then this is where things like really level up. So if you want to be healthy, you could do Greek yogurt.
Okay.
To get your protein fix. I unfortunately have passed that era of my life. I am going to die young. And so I do creme fraiche. Creme fraiche with onion mix. If you eat that with carrots, that's
really good.
It's amazing.
I love that you throw carrots.
Because that's what I was like. If you want to go crazy and like have it the best bite, you get a ridged potato chip.
Okay.
That to me is the best bite in the entire world.
Yeah.
And if you want to be like, if you want to be like pseudo healthy, you can do the carrot. I brought this to a couple parties and my international friends, not my French friends, but a lot of like my Scottish English friends were like, what is this? And like begged me to bring it to other parties. I realize this is trash.
Bring it next
it's time. I'll bring it to the next time we do. I'm obsessed with that. In terms of my spiral. Okay. This is something that I've been experiencing almost, I don't want to say daily, but it's probably daily. And it is being skipped in the grocery line.
Yeah.
This is apparently a French right.
I've been a victim too.
Yeah, you've been a victim too.
But not just grocery store, like anywhere.
Everywhere.
They don't know how to make lines here.
No, they don't believe. They believe they are entitled to the front of the line.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe they know what a line is.
You don't think so? I think they are not stupid. I think they just believe, everyone believes it's the same way that if they walk. It's like everyone is only thinking of themselves.
Okay.
The way, like, it'll be a grocery store, there'll be such a clear line. You would have to be full on blind, and they'll just walk right in front of the entire line and they skip at the entire line. And all my friends deal with it and they go like, Madame Yanku. That means like there's a line and I'm too scared. So this is like, I'm being the girl who complains about not getting invited on Instagram after she was invited somewhere because like
it's making me spiral.
Yeah. Wait, I just like need to confront it. Like, I need to like be like,
I don't want to fight in French. That's my one.
But like fight weakness. Like, it's always like a 65-year-old. Sorry, that's not true. It's usually like a 55-year-old woman who has no physical disabilities. I'm not like, if it's an 80-year-old woman skipping me.
Right.
I'm like, it's do fine. It like you be you, girl. But if it's you're a 55-year-old, like an it's usually a 55-year-old like dyed blonde French woman, and she's skipping the other. For when it's a man though, when it is a man,
you're like, I'm gonna kill you.
Truly, my first homicide is going to be
someone who's skipped you in line at Carrefour.
You know, like those books that are like, my first. You've never seen those.
You're going to end up in like those episodes like Snapped.
Yes. No, I think so though. And I've started to just, this is me like absolutely crazy. I've started to just go so rude. Like I'll just go say out loud.
Oh, really?
So rude.
What do they say?
Doesn't help at all. No one hears me because no one speaks English and no one knows what I'm saying. It's just kind of like get out the rage so I don't like get the like knife and dagger out. But
yeah. No, that's happened to me a lot. I feel like, again, I don't think they know what a line is. in this country.
I think you're enabling weaponized incompetence.
No, I mean, no, not to like defend him. I'm just saying, like, I just think the concept of a line is like everyone just
have a
like,
word for
there's
it.
There's a line. I'm just gonna skip it. Like everybody does whatever they want, kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like, but that's like willful.
No rules. Same like well, like they cross when the line is red, kind of vibes. And then you go to like Copenhagen, and everything is just like everything works. Everybody follows the rules. No one like crosses when it's red. So I think it's just more one of those. But I mean, not defending French people. I'm just saying. I just don't think
we would never. By the way,
No. I mean, I've been a victim of the line thing. Like so many times, and it gets to me. Sometimes it makes me so angry, and like there's now lately, I'm just like whatever, skip me, I don't give a fuck. But yeah, it's annoying as hell. Okay, like there's a line for a reason.
That's probably true peace. That's probably like the acceptance that therapists talk about.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean it's annoying for sure, but I'm just like I'm never gonna win this fight with you, so whatever.
Yeah. Let's do it together. One deep sigh.
At least we get croissants.
They're going to deep sigh with
me. Oh, let's do it.
One,
yeah.
One, two, three. Well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
And stay tuned. Our next episode is going to be about jobs and work culture.
I promise we'll have like some drama infused. I'm relying on you for that,
Danny.
Oh, I
have so much drama. Yeah. I just left my corporate job and I have many tales to tell. But no, but it's very interesting the differences between both countries, the cultural differences, but also like corporate America versus corporate France.
Yeah, all the culture clashes you can ask for.
Really fun. Okay, well, until next time.
Bye.
This was Clashes,
a podcast brought to you by two idiots.
Clearly. I don't know if I can laugh on cue.